UK Wine Show, show number 46, Two Hands with Clear Wood. G'day, welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 46 for the 13th of April. My name's Chris Scott, and this week we're going to be continuing our chat with Clear Wood. Claire is the Export Brand Manager at Two Hands. Last week, we tasted three wines from Clear Valley, Heathcote, and Langhorne Creek. And this week, we're going to finish up the tasting with McLaren Vale, Barossa Valley, and Padthaway. If you'd like to give me some feedback, you can drop me an email at chris.scott@ukwineshow.co.uk. I'd love to get your feedback, particularly about running tastings as a part of the podcast. It's something we don't normally do, and I'm quite interested to get some feedback on that. But before we get into the tasting, let's have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. Now, this first piece of news is definitely not an April Fool's joke, although it is hard to believe. Incredibly, a dress that is made of red wine has been created by Australian scientists. The fabric is actually the mould that forms on the top of wine vats when oxygen gets in. The bacteria weave the fibres together, creating a slimy, flexible cellulose mat. And this is laid over an inflatable doll and allowed to dry to form a cotton-like dress. The project is called Micro-B and is still a long way from producing a commercially useful fabric. At the moment, the dress has to be kept damp because it becomes very brittle when it dries out, which is why the doll has to be deflated to get the dress off. We better watch this space for developments. Meanwhile, this week, Waitrose is launching a monthly drinks magazine called Thirst. The magazine is produced by the team behind Waitrose Food Illustrated and will provide profiles of producers and wine regions, as well as latest product news. It will also feature recipes with food and drink matching. Each issue will carry a theme, with the first focusing on France to support the French Wine Showcase, which is in store from now until the 7th of May. And finally, on to more serious news, the Saint-Emilion wine classification has been suspended after a court ruling banning Chateau in the region from putting the Grand Cru Classé label on their bottles. The court concluded there was serious doubt about the reliability of the jury for the 2006 listing, and the previous ranking drawn up in 1996 no longer applies, leaving the region unclassified until a full investigation can be carried out. The case was brought after four chateaux that were excluded from the new listing complained they weren't treated fairly. Ironically, back in 1897, the French government passed a new law to ensure quality in their wines. The law was described as more stringent than any measures before. It forbid the fabrication, circulation and sale of any wines of raisins and sugar and any other artificial wines. That's all for the news this week. Back over to you, Chris.
Thanks for that, Jane. There's a real dearth of good quality consumer magazines about wine out there. Decanter does a fine job. Let's hope that Thirst helps quench that thirst. And don't forget that the UK Wine Show is sponsored by 3050, the wine tasting company. Wine tastings are a great way for friends and family to get together and share their enthusiasm for wine. Next up, we've got the interview with Claire Wood from Two Hands. Okay, so the next three ones are going to look at Lily's Garden, McLaren Vale. Bella's Garden from Barossa, Sophie's Garden from Padthaway.
Yeah. So Lily's Garden is from the beautiful region of McLaren Vale, and McLaren Vale is to the south of Adelaide, so it's about 2 hours drive south of the Barossa Valley. Different climate, you've got a maritime influence obviously down in McLaren Vale. A lot of the vineyards are within 20, sometimes 15 kilometres of the ocean, sometimes a little closer. So as I was explaining before with Langhorne Creek, you don't have, the temperatures don't get quite as hot during the day or quite as cool at night. It's much more constant. McLaren Vale for us, typically we see really beautiful, unctuous, very silky wines from the Shiraz. It shows gorgeous chocolate, ripe plum, you get that lovely mocha character.
There's also a wee bit of violet and that sort of floral influence coming through. Not as much as the Clear Valley, perhaps, but still there.
That's right. Again, it tends to be slightly darker fruits.
Yeah.
It's a very generous giving wine, particularly in its youth. It's probably one of the most approachable in the Garden Series in its youth. I mean, the thing with all of these wines, you can drink them now. Give them plenty of aeration, decant them for a good hour or two, and they'll drink beautifully. But likewise, you can sell these as well. The tannins on this tend to be very silky. It's a very voluptuous wine, whereas we were talking about the wines earlier being long and linear. This is much more enveloping.
The wines do have that lovely silky feeling in the palate. Maybe more this one, but the whole range so far have had that real nice balance of acidity and fruit weight.
Mm-hmm.
I find talking to a lot of people who aren't really into wine, and they talk about wine, you know, they like these fat-bodied Shirazes that tend to lack acidity, maybe a bit more alcohol. Like these wines don't seem to be too alcoholic. They're quite big, aren't they?
They're up there, but that's the key. Jeepers. They're balanced. See, yeah, that's the thing.
They're about 14.5%, is it?
I'm really pleased you said that, actually, because...
15.2 for some of them. Gosh!
That's it. But would you have guessed it?
No. They're not hot.
That's right. The key to this is all about balance. And it's, you know, you hear so much now, particularly with regards to warmer region producers in Australia, such as the Barossa, being attacked for high alcohol or dead fruit wines, as some people refer to them as. And I always say to people, just try the wine and tell me what you think, and then we'll look at what the alcohol is. Because if the wine is in balance and that alcohol is not sticking out, like an awkward elbow poking, inside, then there's nothing wrong with the wine. And these wines are certainly in balance. You've got beautiful acid on these.
Yep. Is it at all natural, or do you adjust a wee bit?
We do have to adjust, yeah. It's Australia. It's probably back in Kiwi land, you don't have to, but in Australia we certainly do have to make some adjustments. But the key, as I said, is about balance. And these wines are just, the fruit concentration is just in perfect harmony with the acid and tannin balance. So the Lily's Garden, this is where we're seeing American oak,
mm-hmm.
but predominantly old American oak. For many years, Australian winemakers had a fascination with lots of new, highly charred American oak.
Yeah.
And
that does help develop some nice chocolatey aromas in the wine sometimes.
It does, definitely. But done too much and...
You lose the fruit.
Dominates the wine.
Sure.
And it's just too much. You know, you have one glass of that style of wine and you certainly don't want to go back for another one. I think the thing with all these is you'll have one glass and you want to go back again. They're also all very food friendly,
mm-hmm.
In that, again, they're not that overpowering blockbuster come and knock you off your chair style. They do have finesse. Even once you start looking at the Barossa and the Pathway, which are big, rich, full-bodied wines, there is a finesse to these wines.
Do you try this Barossa Bella's Garden?
So Lily, the lovely Lily, which we just tasted from McLaren Vale, is Michael Twelvetree's daughter, and Bella is Richard Mintz's daughter. So Bella, our Barossa Shiraz, and Bella is probably the best known in the Garden Series lineup, particularly as it's from the Barossa Valley, and the Barossa Valley is probably one of Australia's best known wine regions internationally. It is one of the, I mean, not that I have any favourites in this lineup, but it's definitely...
on the nose, it's probably the biggest so far.
Yeah, it's still quite tight, but you see that beautiful blackberry... lovely scenery characters coming out in this. There's a lot of depth, there's a lot happening on the nose, but it is, as I said, it's still quite closed. It does have a little bit of air. And with Bella's, the maturation is always done in 100% French oak. Again, you're only looking at around 25% new oak, and it spends 16 months in barrel, all hogsheads.
Just going back to that Clear Valley, I'm picking up a lot more of the vanilla-iness coming through on that now.
For me, I never get a lot of vanilla character on that.
Not out of balance or anything like that. It's just initially when I was saying violets, you know, as the wines opened up, that's it's almost morphed into vanilla-y flavours coming through.
Sure. Wine tasting, wine smelling is totally subjective, and I would never disagree with anyone. As we always say to people coming to our tasting room and trying wine, you know, what you smell, what I smell can be two totally different things, mm-hmm. but neither one is wrong. Mm-hmm. It's a very personal...
It's also a bit of nature and nurture.
Yeah.
Some people can't smell certain smells. I can't seem to smell elderflower.
I think a lot of Australians would struggle with elderflower as well.
Yeah, in England everybody smells elderflower.
Yeah. Gooseberry's another one as well. I think a lot of Aussies struggle with gooseberry, whereas in England it's probably a more familiar aroma.
Okay. So the Barossa is, again, it smells quite ripe. You know, it's got that ripeness to it. The alcohol is 14.8%, but again, not a problem with that.
You can see if you just look at it in the glass, it's a beautiful, rich, thick wine. On the palate, it has that wonderful silky texture again, but a little, just a touch firmer than the McLaren Vale. And I always liken Bella's Garden to a racetrack. It just keeps on going. It's got this beautiful, long palate. And for a Barossa Shiraz, this is quite a seriously elegant style. Obviously, as all these wines start to open up, as you're seeing, you start to see more flavours happening. Lily's, the McLaren Vale, as that starts to open up, I always see a lot more pepper spice coming through on that.
Yeah.
Which, early on, it tends to be hidden under all the ripe plum fruit characters. Also, as well, with talking about warmer regions, I find with cooler climate Shiraz, that's where you start to see the spicy characters accentuated, you know, that clove, cinnamon spice character. In the warmer areas, you start to move along that spice spectrum and you see those pepper spices, but they're quite subtle.
I haven't seen a lot of, like, the wines, some of them heard hints of pepper, but nothing really. Some of them you almost want to sneeze when you smell pepper. Mm. But you guys haven't really got that coming through, like, as a primary aroma. No,
it's there, but it's
yeah,
it's a seasoning.
It's a seasoning as opposed to plain pepper.
Yeah.
Okay, and you're saying that's more to do with the heat coming through with the pepper? I've always associated pepper as more of a cool climate.
Oh, okay. Good. Sorry, no, I probably didn't explain that too well. Yes, I associate a general spice character with cooler climate Shiraz.
Yeah.
But more that clove, cinnamon, spice, as you move along into the warmer climates and you move along that continuum of flavours, then I start to see pepper emerge in the warmer. You see it in the cooler climates, but you don't see that clove, cinnamon character coming out in the warmer regions. We do see the pepper spice in the warmer climates, but it's subtle.
Mm-hmm. And Padthaway.
Okay, Padthaway. Now, this guy really is very distinctive of all the six. Probably the most distinctive. Sometimes it can be a little bit of a freak of a wine because I've actually in the past likened it to Pinot on hormones. The reason being, it can just have these amazing aromatics, these amazing perfumes. I mean, as soon as you put this on the palate, as soon as you taste it, you know, you're not talking Pinot, you're talking Shiraz.
Yeah, sure.
But it just has all these beautiful lifted aromatics. This is the one wine as well that we do see those cinnamon clove spice characters coming out. This is from Padthaway, which is down in the lower southeast corner of South Australia. So it's a little to the north, about an hour's drive north of the region of Coonawarra. Coonawarra is one of our cooler climate regions, which we grow Cabernet Sauvignon in Australia. So Padthaway is certainly cooler than the other regions that we've tried from today. And you really see that in the character, the flavour profile in this wine. But it's a little deceiving because you smell this aromatic, lifted, perfumed wine, but then on the palate, it's a big, rich, full-bodied, powerful wine, which is why we serve it last.
Mm-hmm. It's also probably the hottest on the palate of the others as well. So in general, how would you describe maybe the cooler regions to the warmer regions? You talked about more of a spiciness coming through on the warmer regions.
Yeah, I guess, well, if you first of all look at the different fruit characters, And you put them on this continuum, and you start down at the cool climate end with the lovely lifted red berry fruit characters. And as you move through and get through to the warmer regions, the fruits start to darken up. You're looking at denser, darker black fruits, blackberry, plum.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Very, very dense wines. So down at the cool climate end, you're getting a little more elegance. You're getting, as I mentioned, more spice. You tend to see more of that clove, cinnamon, pepper. People often talk about white pepper versus black pepper. And then as you move through to the warmer areas, often that spice can begin to fade, and it's not as evident as it is in the cooler climate areas. But certainly we see black pepper spice coming out, particularly on the McLaren Vale. And on the Barossa, but it's subtle. It's there, but it's not powerful. And the tannin structure and the weight of these as well change. So you're looking at that linear, more elegant style down with the cooler climate, and then as you move through to the warmer regions, thicker, they're more viscous wines. It's more of a glycerol.
One of the things about these wines is none of them are really jammy. What's the story there?
No, that's... Well, with the two-hand style, that's something that we really avoid. When we were talking before about cool climate styles of Shiraz versus warm climate styles of Shiraz, in warmer regions in Australia, if the fruit is left to hang on the vine for an extended period, and you can often get this raisining effect happening, mm-hmm. and as a result we get these very jammy overripe characters in the wines, and obviously very high sugar and thus high alcohol. That's something that Two Hands really avoids. We don't want to see those overripe jammy characters. It's like you've just boiled the pot a little bit too much. Yeah. You're just taking it too far. Also as well, it's very difficult to make a balanced wine out of those. They're verging on fortified styles. So you'll never see that overripe jammy character in any of Two Hands. We don't allow the fruit to hang.
I always associate it with high cropping levels. Do you guys crop at a lower level?
We crop anywhere between 1 to 2.5 ton to the acre.
That is very low.
It's very low.
1 ton an acre is very low.
The 1 ton to the acre is on a Grenache that we make, actually, out of the Barossa Valley.
And what would be typical, for a Riverland wine?
Oh, you could be talking 7 ton.
Seven, eight ton.
But it also, you also do see that jammy character on low cropped vineyards, because it might be a style that the winemaker or the grower is wanting to achieve. So it's quite common, or not so much anymore, but it was fairly common, to particularly in areas like the Barossa, to leave Shiraz hanging for an extended period, so you do start to get that raisining effect.
Yep.
And then you get the big monster wines, which do have a following.
But
it's certainly not a style that we're in.
Do you think that's part of the reasons why your alcohols, even though they're quite high, don't come through too hot?
Yes, they're in balance. You haven't got... if we left these to hang for longer, you'd be seeing 17.5% alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly you can get that in the Barossa Valley.
What's the future for two Hands? How much wine do you produce at the moment?
We're not a huge producer. We still classify ourselves as a boutique producer. We're just over the 20,000 case mark.
Mm-hmm.
But the future, right now we don't intend on growing much more. We've had fairly substantial growth in the last 4 years, but really now we're going into a period of consolidation. It's about doing what we do and doing it better each year. We also, as well, will be looking to start growing our own fruit. I think I mentioned previously that a lot of our fruit is under contract, so we buy our fruit in. We're very happy with that situation. Mm-hmm. It works brilliantly. We have some fantastic growers that we deal with.
You're giving them a lot of instruction about how you want the fruit grown.
Yes, we have a very close working relationship with our growers. So our winemaker will decide when the fruit is to be picked. During vintage time, our winemaker is out in the vineyards every day. So he relies very heavily on his assistant in the winery to make sure everything's running smoothly, because he's out there making the decisions about when the fruit should be picked. And then obviously before that, you know, he's making decisions about watering, canopy management and so on. So yes, the relationship we have with our growers is of vital importance to us, because as everyone knows, you've got to start with good quality fruit.
Do you guys pick on sugar or phenolics? You know, sugar or flavour? There's like a debate in the industry, flavour. You always pick on flavour?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
So yeah, right now for Two Hands, it's a time of concentrating on what we're doing and just getting better at it.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, Claire. That's been quite a good wee masterclass on Australian Shiraz.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, I hope you learned something from that interview. Not all Shirazes are made the same way. And there can be quite a bit of style difference between the cooler regions, which produce, you know, more red berry fruits with spices, cloves, cinnamon, white pepper. While as regions become warmer, the Shiraz changes to a darker, denser black fruit, blackberry, plums aroma. And with that spice starting to fade and just losing some of those hints of black pepper. If you want to listen to the whole interview again, all the way through both parts, I'll put a link up on our show notes at ukwineshow.co.uk under show number 46, and it'll have the entire interview all the way through without any news, etc. Next week, we're going to start looking at wine storage. We're going to start by talking to spiral cellars. Spiral cellars dig holes and install a spiral staircase, which doubles as a cellar into your house. We're going to be talking to Lucy Hargraves about what you need for good storage of wine. The following week, we're going to talk to two leaders in wine cabinets about the two competing technologies and their advantages and disadvantages that are used to maintain cellar-like conditions in cabinets in your home. So until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show was brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show was produced by Jane Scott and recorded and edited by Chris Scott. The news was read by Jane Scott and researched by Sandra Clement. The music for the UK Wine Show is Griff de Jingle 1 by Marcel de la Jatelle and Silence by Etoile Noire.